Started preaching yet. It's good to see so many here today. We have people from all over the community, folks that have moved off to other places, four of them up here on the front, and are coming back just to see if they can cause me problems. No, I know better than that. But I'm just thankful that Hugh and Leah and Charles and Linda are here again this morning. We're just glad to have you guys and just thrilled that you're here. And so many of you, it's just an honor for you to be here with us today. And I hope that this lesson is an encouragement to you. I really enjoyed preparing this, and I hope you enjoy hearing it. It is, it's a beautiful day that God has given. And this is Easter Sunday. I told the folks in class, I'm still trying to figure out how a bunny and eggs have anything to do with this. But that's all right. We'll figure that out someday, some way. The passage that Elliot read this morning, of course, is a very famous passage, Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. And I really want us to consider something that is really, really important to every one of us. And I know it's true. It's important to every single one of us. We all want to live. Every single one of us want to live. Now, Ezekiel lived in the 6th century B.C. He was a prophet during the time the Israelites were in exile under the Babylonians. And as a young man, he would have seen the effects of King Josiah's reforms as they found the book of the law and they cast out all the idolatry out of the land. They tore down the idols. They called for the people to repent and to serve the one true and living God. He saw all those amazing and wonderful reforms, but he also saw that when the king died, those reforms soon reverted back to the way things had been before. He was a married man, and it appears that his wife died during the siege that Nebuchadnezzar laid against Jerusalem. And of course, he finally then marched and took the city 587 to 586 B.C. And then, of course, he, along with many, many thousands, would have marched off in exile to Babylon. Just about everything was going wrong in Elijah's life. Can you relate to that, maybe? Have you had a lot of things happen in your life that have caused you to just wonder what else can go wrong? And perhaps Ezekiel was wondering, just where are the promises of God? Where is God in all this? But one day God spoke to him, and God showed him this valley of dry bones. And this could well have been dead soldiers from a major battle that had taken place long, long ago. And so in this vision, there is this valley filled with bones that are so dry a dog won't even chew on them. Bleached in the sun, parched dry, evidence of a huge battle evidently that had taken place so long ago. And at first glance, the damage seems to be irreversible. Scattered bones, no flesh, no blood, no muscle, just dry bones. And God says to him, "Son of man, and these bones live." Verse 3. Now Ezekiel, can this scene of violence be reversed? Can these dead bones live? These bones that are laying scattered about, no life in them, can they be brought back to life? Ezekiel, can these bones live? Dead people everywhere. Yeah, we see them too, don't we? We see dead people. I know there's a movie about that, but we look around us, and if we could see what God could, if we could see things the way God sees them, we'd see dead people too. We'd realize that the dead are all around us, and they're going here and there. They're working, they're playing, they're loving, they're hating. They're making choices, some good, many, many bad choices. And they're enjoying themselves, but they're dead while they live. They are spiritually dead. Many of these same people are in church services, okay? They are going to church all the time, but they're not really serious. They're not really Christians. They're just there. And of course, a lot of folks no longer even make the effort. They may have made it at some point some form of commitment to God, but trouble came. They struggled at first, and then eventually they just gave up, and they dried up, and they laid down their crosses for a rest, and they never got up again. Just dry bones. Although the people around us may be living their lives, working their jobs, enjoying their hobbies, raising their families, while they may be charming people, intellectual people, reasonable people, educated people, yet if they do not know Jesus Christ, they are spiritually dead. Israel knew they were in trouble. Look at Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. The nation of Israel had been defeated. They had been beaten down. They had reached a place where they saw no way out of their captivity. Okay? No way out at all. They are hopeless. Hopeless. Here they are. Well, the Bible describes people in the world as having no hope and without God in the world. These people that are in captivity, they're not really living. They are saying our bones are dead. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We ourselves are cut off. These people were simply existing in captivity. You know, when we look around us, we see evidence of the spiritual death that dominates our world. And just like Ezekiel, we've been sent out to tell them how they can live, to tell them that they can have life. Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Can these dead ones live? Can these dead ones live, church? Can they? From man's viewpoint, no way. Absolutely no way. These bones cannot live. Verse 2 says the bones were very dry. But Ezekiel knew not to answer too quickly. Notice what he says. O Lord, you know. I love that. God does know. And we don't. And we need to recognize that we don't know. We need to realize that truth. We don't know. There are things in life we can know. There are many, many things that we do know. But there are also many more things that we don't know. And we need to be able to say, I don't know. Because I don't. Ezekiel is saying, you know everything, Lord. And I cannot do anything. I know the task is too big for me. And even if I were able to lay all these bones together with their right skeleton and make up all these bodies, all I would have is skeletons. You know, Lord, and I don't. After cruel hands had crucified the Son of God, others took his body down from that terrible cross. And gentle hands lovingly cleaned his body and prepared it for burial. And they put him in the tomb and they left him there. And the stone was rolled in front of the door, and Pilate told the guards that had been placed there, make it as sure as you can, because the rumor was that his disciples would come and try to steal the body and say that he was risen. That was the rumor. Make it as sure as you can. And so they gently buried him and left him there. That's what we have to do, isn't it? We have to leave them there. When they pass from this life, we can't keep them with us. We have to take them to another place, and we can't stay there with them, and they can't stay with us. We just have to leave them there. And that's part of the curse of death, just another terrible part of it. His disciples didn't know what to do, and so they went back to Jerusalem. They went back there, and they waited. They sat there, and they waited. Can the dead live? He said something about coming back, but what did he mean? Can the dead live? We saw him raise up Lazarus from the dead. We saw it with our own eyes. But Jesus is dead. Who will raise him up? Can these bones live? O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel 37:4, God said, prophesy to these bones. Speak to the bones, Ezekiel. Speak the words that I give you, and these bones will live. And Ezekiel did what he was told to do, and something remarkable happened. Look at verse 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, and I looked, and the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Notice that this is not just any movement, not just bones randomly coming together, but it says that bone came to his bone. Each came together to the correct skeleton in the correct place in the correct order. God is the God of order and design. Ezekiel told the dry bones to hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. That's the key to restoring life to the dead. Everyone must hear the word of the Lord if they want to live. Everyone. Listen to God. Determine to obey Him and do what He says. And folks, the bones came back together, but there was no life in them. So God told Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. Speak to the wind and call to it. Call for it from the four winds to come and breathe upon these bodies. Breathe upon these slain that they may live. You know, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, He formed man's body out of the dust of the ground. Formed his body, and then the Bible says he was not yet alive, but God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He did not come to life till God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And folks, we can do things right. We can attend church services. We can have the right attitude. We can be like God in every way possible. But unless God breathes, there is no life. There is no life. Without God directing us, we will not really live. Without God's direction, there can be no life. We all can understand that. And God wants people to live. He wants the dead to be raised. He wants the saved to be lost. He wants the spiritually dead to come alive. Though they were just dry bones, God can still bring them back to life. And when the breath of God blew on that valley, all of those dead men stood up. They stood up before the Lord. A great army. When God acts, life happens. Are you listening? When God acts, life happens. Israel was in a hopeless condition, helpless to save themselves, slaves yet again. Why, just 600-700 years ago, they were slaves in Egypt, and now look at them, slaves again. They were indeed the dry bones of that valley. But God promised them that they would come out of the grave that was Babylonian slavery. They would come out of that grave and they would be restored to life in their homeland again one day. And they would know that the Lord had spoken it and that the Lord had performed it. They would know that it was God that had made it happen because they couldn't save themselves. Oh my, folks, there's a message for us there. When we get to heaven, when we stand before the throne of God and we are forever in the presence of Almighty God, we will know that it is God who spoke it and it is God who performed it. It is God who made it possible for us to be there. When we are able to live in heaven forever and ever, no end, no badness, only goodness, only joy, only peace, only happiness. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I know the Bible describes it, but I still don't know because I'm only human. I'm only human. I can't comprehend the joys that are awaiting us in heaven. But one thing I do know, God has spoken it and God will perform it. It will happen because of God. I will get to go to heaven not because I'm good, but because God is good. And when I'm up there, I'm going to enjoy heaven. Like, I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be. But God made this wonderful world, didn't he? Have you ever watched these science channels and you see these crazy things? I saw an octopus now. I couldn't believe this. Big old octopus went through a hole about that big. Big old octopus. I mean, he was a good 6 or 8 feet across, and he went through a hole that big. God made that. I saw army ants swirling around on the ground, looked like a hurricane. If you'd have looked at this from 100 feet up, you might have thought it was a black cloud swirling on the ground. They were just going around in a circle. God made that. Things on this world that just amaze and dazzle. The human body, the human mind, the neurons and protons, the electrons, and all of the things that make us up. And God made all that. You think Disney World is fun? Wait till you get to heaven. You ain't seen nothing yet. Thought has not entered the mind. The imagination of the heart cannot conceive the joys that are awaiting us in heaven. We can't even imagine it. But it's going to be good. You know how I know it's going to be good? It's because God says it's going to be good. God has spoken it, and God will perform it. Israel, you're going to come out of captivity one day, and you will know that the Lord has spoken it, and the Lord has performed it. And folks, we ask the question again. Can these dry bones live? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. And so in Jerusalem, they waited. One day, 2 days, third day, early Sunday morning at the tomb, there's a great earthquake. There's a stirring. There's a rattling. There's a noise. And the angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. And the guards that were guarding the tomb, making it as sure as they can, they were so afraid that the living became like dead men. Can the dead live? Can the dead live? Yes, these bones can live. Jesus conquered death. He is risen just as he said he would do. And he offers a resurrected life to everyone. To everyone. To everyone. Ephesians 2 and 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's the one who made us alive. And he will breathe. He will breathe new life into anyone who will submit to him and do his will. If they will accept the lordship of Jesus Christ and obey his gospel, they will be given a new life here, an eternal life in the hereafter, if they will come to him. Can these bones live? Oh Lord God, you know. Yesterday I saw 4 young women dead in sin, prisoners of Satan, inmates of the county, refugees of a world without God and without hope. They were pitiful. Prison clothing, no makeup, no nail polish, no hairstyle. Self-respect was shot, forced to submit to the authorities. No freedom. Privileges can be revoked with a word. And they're in the rack down, as they call it. I saw these 4 young women. They were dead while they lived. But something wonderful happened. They learned that these bones can live. These dead bones, these dry bones can live. They heard the word of the Lord. And they humbled themselves. And in obedient faith, they obeyed that word and were baptized into Christ. And God breathed new life into them. Can the dead live? Oh Lord God, you know. Jesus lives. And so will everyone who will follow him. You can live. Hear the word of the Lord. and let God give abundant life to you. Are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? Do you believe enough to serve Him, to obey Him, to live for Him? If you will surrender to Him, you will live with Him. If you will live for Him in this life, you will live with Him in the next life. This is God's promise. But you've got to take the step. See, the dead bones can live. And you are hearing God's word, but you have to hear it. Oh, you're hearing the words with your ears, but you have to hear them with your heart. You have to accept them. You have to let it in. And let God's word do its work. You have to believe enough to change. Now, folks, I hope you're listening. You have to believe enough to change. To surrender to God and become the man or woman that He wants you to be. It's a lifetime process. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not 30 days to better living. It is a lifetime to eternal life. But if you choose to do this, God will take care of you. He will bless you. If we don't choose to do it all the way, though, if we just half-heartedly do it, if we're not serious about it, then not only do we not have God's protection, but we have Satan's assault. He is attacking us to try to get us back because he senses that he's losing us, and God will not protect us if we're not committed to serving him. So you have to make up your mind. You either get in the boat or get out of the boat. One of the two. My plea to you is that you will obey God today. If you're not a Christian, become a child of God. If you're already one of His people, but you've allowed sin to come into your life and change and push you away and distract you, and you've grown unconcerned and uncaring, and you've laid your cross down to take a rest, and you never picked it up again, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Come back to Him before it's too late. The Lord's invitation is extended to you this morning. We hope, we pray, that you will obey the Lord. If you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.